It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right. I just want to get this out of the way. This has been a very rough week or two here. I've spent the whole time obsessing over jazz and Peacock. Because something is going on here. Have you been following the blog?
I mean, I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I don't understand it. I've been researching. I don't get it. So, for those of you who don't follow the blog, shame on you. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Jazz was talking about, we were talking about Poker Face, the new Peacock original series starring Natasha Lyonne, where she can tell when people are lying and uses that to solve crimes, a la Incredible Hulk with Bill Bixby, that kind of deal. And I saw the premiere episode, the pilot episode, whatever, and I liked it. But Peacock is very big on, there are only certain things that are free, and as I now can see, is the grand tradition of streaming services like this. Fewer and fewer things are available for free, but they also do a thing that I really hate more than anybody else, is they do the drug dealer bit, like first one's free. So like almost every show on there, when it comes out, the first episode you can watch, or like Rutherford Falls, which was a Mike Schur comedy they did. The first three episodes you can watch for free. And then you got Pony Up. But talking with Jazz claims to be watching the whole thing free with commercials, which it's all commercials. And this has been driving, like, we check and I double check. And all, so I'm trying to figure out. I'm there. One of just a few things is going on here. And because I am a nice person, because I love jazz, I am taking off the table that jazz is just fucking lying.
Yeah, that's probably
a statement. While we should pause to acknowledge that is a statistical possibility, I'm going to take it as read. She's not just gaslighting me.
Not likely.
If you are jazz, hell of a con. I really enjoy it. You got me there. But so, here are the options I see remaining.
Okay.
One. Well, okay. I'm also taking it as read that she didn't, like, watch the first one and then have this conversation just assuming she could watch the rest. And then, like, yeah.
There's not some other mistake happening.
She's not an idiot. I'm taking it as read that she's not an idiot and isn't just saying shit to say shit. So, options are, I could be watching all of this shit for free somehow, and I don't know how. And I am really interested in that, if that's the truth. Option two, Jazz is paying for it or is on like a free trial or something and just is unaware. Someone else in her household, or she got real high one night and bought Peacock. Because I think the bottom tiers of premium still have the ads. You just can watch everything. Option three, she's getting premium for free, like there's a glitch and like she's doing this. And I thought I had an option four. I don't think I do. Can you think of an option four? It's pretty much got to be one of those three.
Seems like it.
Like, I don't know how to do it properly for free. She's not actually getting it for free. Or it's a glitch and she's not supposed to be getting it. In which case, it's a good thing nobody watches this podcast. Otherwise, NBC would find out and get really mad. I've also considered the possibility that, like, it could be free if you have the network channel, if you actually have NBC. But the thing is, on other, because there are streaming services like that, like Sci-Fi Channel, you can stream stuff, but you have to verify that you actually get the Sci-Fi Channel. There, I have seen no option in which I could tell it whether or not I got NBC. And as far as I know, the technology is not there that these streaming services I just put up on my TV can sense that. So, so I don't really think that's likely. So I think it's one of the other three. And it's really bugging me which one it is a lot. So, Jazz, for thing for you. Is there anything on Peacock that it won't let you watch? Because that, I don't think there's, I mean, I think there are higher tiers to pay, like to not get ads and stuff, but I don't think there's like premium content. So if you're able to watch everything, you probably have premium in some form. And I'm really interested because there are things on Peacock that I want to watch. But largely because of their drug dealer outfit. And also because compared to a lot of streaming services, there isn't that much I want to watch. I have sort of dug my heels into them. Like, I'm not paying the $5 a month required for Peacock. But I want to know what's going on. It's really, like, and just so we're all clear, I know it doesn't matter. Like, I know this is a dumb thing to obsess over. It just doesn't get out. It's a logic puzzle version of one of those earworm songs. I'm just like, what's going on? Is she getting it and she doesn't know it? Like, she would see what was happening. So did like somebody else in her house buy it and she just doesn't know? Or is it, because I've never heard of like a glitch where like you get something for free at your streaming service for free you're not supposed to. I guess that's another. Is she logged in with somebody else's password and doesn't know it because somebody else in her house did it? That could be a thing too. Anyway, I haven't slept at all in the last week or so because of this, so hopefully that doesn't reflect too poorly in the episode. Hello everyone, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that I allow William to do. People don't know that. He gets offered podcasts all the time. He used to try and do a couple, but I found out. So, yeah, no, there's a few big ones that make a lot of money and stuff that he has been about. There are hosts on big name podcasts that were the second choice after William, because I refused to let him accept them. And I stand by it, not because of anything wrong there. I just like to watch him suffer. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 623.
I'm always pleased and a little bit surprised when I remember the number. You were saying it, and I was like, I think it's 623, and it is 623.
I don't remember. It's just right here on my screen.
I don't remember. The prestige! That's we have so few things going for us. That's the big one. Is you just, you know, an envelope up your head. This podcast number has been sitting in a mayonnaise jar in Funkin' Wagnall's porch for a week.
Okay.
All right. For those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People write into that email address with whatever the crap they want, that they basically want to inflict upon us. And the hat magically forwards the emails. I say magically because how else would a hat forward an email? No thumbs. Or voice box. Like, I mean, all I know, there's a lot of accessibility tools nowadays. I do not know of any of them that would make it for a hat.
Which is a scant. That's a real scandal. That's true. But
that's true. Actually, we should. Is there? Should we start a organization or something to a lobby?
I'm not sure if the hat cares or if there are any other hats. Like, my hat doesn't care.
So. Also, as soon as I say it, I'm like, are we sliding actual people who need accessibility tools? Are we mocking them by belittling it with a hat? We don't mean to. Used to work quite heavily related to accessibility, and it is a big passion of mine. My wife still does. Everybody needs access to everything, and it's surprisingly not hard if people would just bother.
Isn't that amazing?
An obvious moneymaker. It is a moneymaker, but it's not an obvious moneymaker. So a lot of people don't fucking bother. And as per Trish and I were talking about this thing the other day, as for a lot of things, it doesn't often mean anything to you until you know someone personally who needs it. And then suddenly it's a thing. And it's like, yeah.
Or it is you.
Or it is you. I mean, yeah, then it usually means something to you, like, right away. Anyway, so the hat forwards them to us. We read them, talk about them. We call that a show. It's been 2 weeks. I apologize if I sound a little weird. I'm a little stuffed up. So there are still parts of my house that are not clean, that some would say have yet to be unearthed. And yesterday I worked on a lot of that, and I think I tossed a lot of allergens up into the air.
Oh.
Because ever since then, I've been very, very stuffy. So apologies if I sound weird. So it's been 2 weeks, and somebody got older. Maybe what, 83 now, or is it still? I lost count.
623. 54.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You're basically my sister's age.
I believe we've covered this ground before.
I don't remember this at all. Have we done this show before? None of this is ringing a bell. Yeah, you're like 3 months older than her, I think.
That's
weird.
I was 8 years old when you were born.
Oh, then maybe you're 9 months younger than her. I believe she was not. Well, yeah, I think she's 9 years older than me.
I take it back. I wasn't eight when you were born. I was seven, but I was going to turn eight in a few weeks. So I guess I would have been in.
I can't remember what year.
Second grade
was born. So, you're around there somewhere. That's weird. I don't think of you two as the same age.
Really?
For just so many reasons. a lot of ways. Some of which you come out looking better. Some of which she does.
Okay.
But
I don't think we'll know.
Anyway. How was your 2 weeks during which you got older?
Well, I mean, it was mostly school. I mean, I even worked on my birthday, so that, you know, that's no fun. But you got me this nice thing that was not for my birthday. You just got it, and it just
and consequently, it didn't show up on your birthday because your birthday, your big birthday present this year was a goddamn snowstorm.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I like snow. I like having snow on my birthday. I didn't need it to be quite like that, especially
of the snow.
Yeah, especially since the next day I couldn't. I had things that I was doing for school that were like due. I had to do them. I didn't have a choice really, unless I wanted to turn them in late. So my wife went out and shoveled the driveway, and I didn't get to do any of it. So
I did eventually find out at some point Friday morning, I think, somebody went and did one snow shovel width's worth down our whole block. I found out later the person who did that is the 12-year-old that we pay to shovel our walk and our drive and everything. And we texted him, and in fact my wife handled it and was like, it's pretty bad and wet out there. I want you to get a friend and we'll pay you both the amount we normally pay. He's like, okay. And then Friday, once it stopped, we're like, let us know when you need to move the car so you can do the driving and all. He's like, okay. Never did it.
Mm.
And this is where we run into a thing again, where I'm not their parent, but like my feelings about this experience were different from both my wife's and both of his biological parent. And I was a little bit annoyed because I'm like, because we didn't hear anything. It wasn't like he said, I can't do it or whatever. And so we just had a ton of snow, and not only was it inconvenient, it could have been dangerous for delivery drivers and stuff like that. And I'm just like, that's what we call a no call, no show. And in most jobs, that'll get you damn fired fast. So that was a little bit awkward, but luckily Trish kind of handled this one. So, and learned from it. She's like, I'm not handling it ever again. This is your deal.
Wow.
But she happened to wake up earlier than me on that day, and so she was texting about it. It's not fun. It's not fun to be sort of responsible for another child, but also not responsible for another child.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah.
Situation. So you got a heck of a snowstorm. So by sheer coincidence, your present was going to show up on your birthday. On your birthday, I got an email that said it's going to show up the next day.
Yep. But I mean, and it was a lot of snow. Like, I don't know. It was like 8 inches here, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and it was wet, heavy snow.
Yeah, yeah, right. It wasn't. Like, the thing is, my wife didn't want me to go out there anyway, because last time, I don't know if I told you this, last time I went to the cardiologist, or not the cardiologist, last time I went to the team that's my surgeon's team, the person that did the operation, my surgeon wasn't there, but her team was there. And they were looking at the last ultrasound or whatever I had. And they said, so you're not lifting things past a certain whatever. You're not doing too much lifting. And I said, no, I'm doing all the lifting. I'm doing all the lifting I ever did because you told me that I could. And they said,
I was going to say, I didn't think you were on any restrictions at this point. So
no. But they said, yeah, maybe you should keep an eye on that. What? That's news to me.
Solid medical advice, well timed and properly given.
Of course, it's me. So during this thing, and I'm having this conversation with this person, it actually doesn't sink in at first. Like there's a part of me that's like really kind of freaking out, but the other part's totally calm. I'm talking to this person, and I don't really think about it until I get home and I'm talking to Abby about it, and I realize, wow, I should have probably asked some more questions about that.
I mean, to be fair, they probably should have said more than,
yeah, I know. That's part of the reason why I didn't respond to it very strongly.
For how long? How much?
How much? Yeah.
In the words of David After Dentist, is this going to be forever?
And like, also why? Like, what changed?
And also, why didn't this... Why you no mention sooner?
Well, it's more than that, because they specifically said, my surgeon told me directly, nah, you don't have to worry about anything like that. Now, I think another thing I was thinking at the time when she said this was, it almost sounded like one of those things where you're talking to a medical professional and they say something and it doesn't sound like, it sounds like it's more of an abundance of caution thing than it is really, you know what I mean? It sounded more like this person's personal opinion or preference, because I heard directly from my surgeon that it didn't matter. And I'd seen my cardiologist not long before that, and she didn't say anything about having any restrictions. So I think at the time I just thought, you know, this person's just saying what is usually said to people who have surgery. It's just a standard thing for them to watch out for it. And it wasn't until later I thought, no, I don't know that for sure. She could have been looking at some data, or she could have been.
No, you don't. And that's the thing, is I don't want to say this in any sort of moral perspective. It's not on you, but it is on you when they talk like that.
Yeah.
I have had times years ago. I don't really have this problem now, but it was hard to get to see my doctor because he's very popular and he's a staff doctor and it's a training hospital. So there's a lot more like residents and stuff. And I had one time who was bugging me about my weight, which happens, and didn't know me well enough. And I talked about, yeah, I got the diabetes. And so I do it this way. And I'm watching out the carbs and all this. And she's like, I don't know though. Like you should really be counting those calories because carbs are only 4 calories per gram and proteins and fat are 9. And I'm just like, that's a wild thing to throw out to a diabetic flying in the face of literally all the nutritionist and diabetic nurse and my own doctor tell I'm like, and not like, again, it was just a like tossing out her opinion.
Yeah.
And at the time I was like, actually, cause you need to follow up and be like, are you just spouting shit here? Cause if so, here's an important lesson of being a doctor. Don't do that. And if not, let's talk more specific. And again, it is their irresponsibility in the first place, but unfortunately it is on you to follow up and make sure, is this a real thing? But I think it might not be. And also follow up the next time you see the surgeon or the cardiologist.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
so this one crazy person said,
because the thing is there's a habit in lots of helping professions, not just like nurses and doctors, but even in the profession I'm going into, there's a habit to think, well, this amount of caution wouldn't hurt. Yeah. So let's just tell them that, you know, even if it's not necessary. And I understand that. I don't, you know, whatever. At the time, I think I just thought that was the kind of thing it was. She was just telling me what the normal thing is. But I had heard from the surgeon directly and from my cardiologist, I hadn't heard anything different. So I was just going with that. But then I realized later, gosh, I should have asked for sure, because if something's changed, I really need to know that. But Abby's kind of worried about it. I don't have an appointment clear until September again or whatever.
Oh, geez.
Well, so she doesn't want me lifting things like
my chart. My chart.
Yeah, I know.
You can send messages. I've actually been making a lot of use of this recently, and it saves a lot of hassle. And especially this one, because like, my chart messages aren't really useful for acute things, but if this is like, oh, it might take a week for them to get back to you, that's way better than September.
Yeah. I have thought about sending something through them, and maybe I will.
Well, if it's making Abby worried, I'd say go for it. But I mean,
yeah,
the real answer is you don't have a lot of lifting in your day to day, do you?
Well, I mean, there was that. No, there was the snow. No,
but that'll resolve pretty quick.
The grandkid comes over, we buy 40-pound bags to put in our water softener. Sometimes the grocery bags can get, you know, pretty heavy.
Better safe than sorry, then. Just type up a little message, and it can't hurt anything, unless you're not supposed to be typing. Did they mention anything about that?
I hope not. But yeah,
that reminds me. I got to call the vet for a thing that's probably nothing, but my wife is concerned about it, so I'm going to follow it.
About Ezzy or?
No. Addy needs some tooth extraction things, and for some reason the vet said, so this spring we'll do that. And I don't know why he said this spring, but he did. And now Trish is like, can you just check on that? Because if he's suffering right now, I don't want us to just wait for spring for no reason. So can you call and find out? And I'm like, I mean, that's what they told us, but you know, for peace of mind, sure.
Wow, tooth extraction, huh?
Cat dental care is sort of a non-existent field until recently. And my vet is really into it.
Oh.
And none of us will brush our cat's teeth. But what it often means is as they get older, shit happens with their teeth and you just got to take some of them out. We've had this with other cats, and Addy doesn't appear to be suffering, but on two of his teeth, there are obvious sores. that aren't good. And again, there's, it's not like he's not eating. If anything, he could stand to eat less. He doesn't eat gingerly or anything. He seems fine, but just in case. And again, for some reason, they were like this spring. So I was like, maybe they do all that stuff at a certain time of year because maybe they bring some, I don't know what. And I didn't follow up at the time. And Trish is just concerned. And so I'm going to find out.
So they just take the tooth out and that's it. There's not, yeah.
It's a day or two. Cause you got to fucking knock the cat out and make sure it heals up and stuff like that. But yeah, we had a cat getting skinnier and skinnier and we couldn't figure out why. And we finally took him to the vet and it was a bad tooth. And we took that tooth out perfectly fine afterward.
That's interesting. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was a thing.
And there's absolutely shit you can buy to like brush your cat's teeth. But I'm like, holy crap.
I remember commercials on television that like certain dog treats you give to a dog was supposed to clean their teeth.
Somehow. Yeah. And technically there are certain things for cats, but we tried them on earlier cats and they didn't like them. And our current cats aren't treat motivated at all.
Really?
Really kind of annoying. At first I thought it was really nice so they don't try and eat all of our food, but now it's really kind of annoying. Anyway, tell them about this lovely present you got.
You got me it's kind of a murder mystery thing, right? Is that the best way to describe it?
It is in fact
this is right here.
Oh wow, that's a big old box.
I mean, it looks like a box. So the thing, apparently, I mean, I can't really start reading things in it or I won't stop and then I won't get my homework done. So I've opened it, but I haven't really touched anything inside. But the box it's come in, it looks like, like everything happens at this winery or something or this vineyard. Is that right? And the box is like if you were getting something from that vineyard, I mean, not a product, but like, let's say you were getting a contract or you were getting something, it's in a box that they might send it to you in. And it looks really cool. And like you said, it's pretty big. It's not chock full of it's not all the way full of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's very realistic looking documents, like, you know, from the business and ways that they would contact you. So it's got a real authentic, you know, kind of feel to it, which I love it. But I don't know when I'm going to do it because do you know how long these things usually take to do? I mean, is it a really involved thing?
I want to say that one. I got you one that was a little on the higher difficulty because I felt like this would be your kind of jam.
Yes, thank you. I mean, it's got letterhead.
I want to say it claims 5 to 6 hours. The biggest ones I found were only like 8 or 9 hours. But to be fair, you're you. So
it could take longer.
You're gonna read shit over and over and things like that.
Yeah. Did you ever hear those video games that we had one, but we were gonna do it, but we wanted to have a big block of time to do it, and so we never ended up doing it. But if you installed it on your machine and filled out all the stuff, you'd get like emails and you'd get, I mean, it,
like Majestic and all of those. I knew a couple of people that tried them and didn't get very far because weirdly they were not successful. It sounded awesome, but it was sort of an outgrowth of these ARG things that started using multimedia, where it isn't just go to this website, go to this thing. It was, you'll get a phone call, you should go to this location.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Your phone. Right. Early AR technology of like, if you look, because there was one later that was called, I think, Ingress, that was a very sort of sci-fi fantasy thing, and you would go to certain locations and like hold up your phone camera and there would be a door or something.
Blood Sparrow did that.
Oh, Ingress. That makes sense. That tracks. Yeah. A friend of Trish's tried Ingress for a little while, but they didn't really get off the ground, and they sound like too much work for me, but it sounds like a cool thing. I'm really kind of surprised more people didn't eat that up. But this is This is, for those of you who watch YouTube videos and listen to podcasts and things, you probably have heard of this company. It's called Hunt a Killer. And I had encountered them on a few different like YouTube things and stuff like that. And it's a company, at its base, I think it was a subscription service originally. So you would buy a subscription and once a month, a box would come and it was sort of episodes of a multi-part mystery. And you can still get those, although now you can just order all of them at once, I think. There are still some subscription things, but they also have much smaller ones that are just like sort of a little booklet with all the information in it, and you can figure out a mystery. And then what you have is sort of a medium tier one that has lots of different documents, and occasionally, I don't think this one does, but some of them will have an actual like physical object that relates somehow.
This is all documents, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That on the website, there was like a picture of everything that came in it, you know, part of this nutritious breakfast kind of thing. And I didn't recall seeing any in this set. Oh,
there's an object in here.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Oop.
Sometimes it's like a clue, and sometimes it's just like a fun related thing. That one might be a clue, I think. Yeah, I don't know. And they just basically send you all this stuff to solve a murder mystery. And I don't know if there's a place where you can go make sure you got the answer right or not.
Oh, okay.
Some of them are self-guided and some of them aren't. I don't know. I haven't done it myself. But it sounds very cool. And the big thing is you, I mean, you're kind of a puzzle guy anyway, I think. But you have always had this obsession with escape rooms.
Interested in them, yeah. Never done one.
And talk about it a lot. And then a few years ago on this show, I found out you'd never been to one.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, the hell? Because you like really were, I was like, just go to one. And we actually had one in town even. And I was like, sometime we're going to go and we're going to do that. And then I think it was COVID happened and COVID, like that place, I mean, their sign is still up, but they've been dead for ages. They never took off anyway. And I always thought like, I want to take you to, I don't really care about them, but it, you know, sounds fun, whatever. So I want to take you one time so you could actually experience it. And that never manifested. And then the very first time I saw a commercial for this, I was like, this kind of feels like an escape room you get to do at home.
That's the best of both worlds for me.
Although we've talked before, there's a podcast that's an audio escape room. And they have a guest every week, and they literally have created an escape room that's all about just describing things. And each podcast episode is their guest trying to get out of the escape room. I forget what it's called. I think we've talked about it before. But yeah, this felt in that vein, and so it really struck me as a thing that I thought you could, and I could absolutely picture you and Abby just like setting aside a Saturday and just like spreading it all out over the kitchen table and pouring over shit.
I mean, maybe I'll have some red yarn and
get the conspiracy board going. And this was not the original one I wanted to get you. This was my second choice. I at the time I narrowed it down to two, and I picked one, and then when I went to order it, it was like, this has been very popular lately, so it's gonna be back ordered. I'm like, oh shit, if it's so far behind that they're mentioning that up front, it's gonna be way far behind. So I was like, we'll go for this one. The other one seemed a little like, because you're not a particular wine person or anything, the other one involved a summer camp murder, I believe. And just in general had more your vibe, I thought. But and then there's lots of, like I said, tiny ones, and now they have bundles where you can just get a whole bunch of the like little mysteries together and stuff. So it's a cool site. I would go, I don't remember the exact URL, but type in Hunt a Killer and you'll find it. Not Hunter Killer, but Hunt a Killer. So I hope it's cool for you.
I mean, I can't wait to do it. It's sitting right here while I'm working, and I'm just jump.
Yeah, if this causes you not to graduate, I might feel guilty. I'll also be amused, but I'll feel guilty.
No, I'll be done on St. Patrick's Day. Our anniversary. I think of that as our anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the podcast.
I mean, that literally is our anniversary.
Yeah, I think it's the podcast university, but I always think of it as like our anniversary, like it's our thing.
Nice.
So St. Patrick's Day, I'll be done with classes, and also it'll be our anniversary. So good. Maybe I'll do it then or the day after. I don't know.
I'm going to make you go on a road trip to Cascade, Iowa.
Cascade, Iowa?
Yeah, I think so.
Why?
Pick up some beef.
Oh, beef at Cascade, Iowa?
I think it's Cascade. We talked before, this little beef farm that does the 21-day aged stuff, and they'll ship it places, but it's like an hour away. And so Trish and I just made a day of it one time and went out there, and we got lunch on the way, and we picked it up. And I know how you're always talking about Iowa all the time. So I thought it'd be a fun thing for us to do instead of IHOP. It's just taking that a road trip.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And Trish has been wanting me to order it sooner and go out there, and I just haven't bothered. I'm like, well, remember, I texted you that one time, and I was like, what's the earliest I could borrow you for several hours
mm-hmm.
on a weekday? And you said it was around March 20th.
Oh, that's what that was about, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also mentioned it before that, but you are old and forget things. So
I do forget things.
As time goes on, I'm like, if I can put Trish off a little bit longer, we'll just do that. So we'll see.
That would be fun. Yeah. What did you do? What'd you do for the last 2 weeks?
Not a lot. Hanging out. Still doing my whole new sort of routine. I think it's working pretty well. Oh, I actually should say, I went to the doctor, and my weight's pretty maintained. Blood pressure was fine. The big number, and this will only be interesting for people who know diabetics, but there are some out there. A1C was 6.3. For perspective, an A1C below 6 is what people who don't have diabetes have. The last time I was there, which was at the height of me really doing that new diet and everything, I was 6.4. So the time period we are looking at is half of it is the holidays, which first of all was the holidays, but also I flat out was very consciously ignoring my diet. And then the other half is when I've been sort of trying this new mindfulness thing. And so during that time, my A1C is actually better than it was when I was really hard on the diet. So
nice.
I am rather pleased with that particular result. And that's the thing. My A1C is good. My blood pressure is good. I don't give a shit how much I weigh. That is not the part I care about. Painted my nails again. This is a nice iridescent green. The neighbor children have been painting their, well, the oldest had been painting his nails, and he kind of inspired the young one to do it. And so then they inspired me to do it because I got a shit ton of nail polish over here. So that's been fun. Not a lot else. I do want to say, if for whatever reason, someone listening is somebody who is trying to work on weight loss, who struggles with their weight, or more specifically, because this should be it, struggles with comorbidities for which, in their specific case, loss of weight might be helpful, or just curbing of diet in general might be helpful. It is true what they say. One of the real basic things you can do that makes a huge difference is keep a journal and write down everything you eat. And don't set yourself rules of what you're allowed to eat or whatever. Just write it all down. And you can be like me. Nobody else sees my journal. So I don't have to like try and put it in a positive light or anything, because I'm the only one who ever sees it. And just write it down. And it just keeps you thinking about what you've been eating. And at least for me, when it comes to overeating, so much of it is the thoughtlessness where I either had a huge meal earlier and I don't think about that and I have another huge one, or like I decide before I've eaten how much I'm going to eat of a thing rather than paying attention to like, am I full or whatever. And just having that list keeps in your mind. It makes you more actively thinking about what you're eating. And it's such a little thing. I mean, and I'm doing other things also, but it's such a little thing and it makes such a big difference.
Mm.
So I would highly recommend that. I've been hearing that for years, but it's true. Outside of that, I think I got three movies I want to talk about that okay. I saw. TV shows are where they are. Still watching Bee and Puppy Cat, and it's affecting me in surprisingly strong ways, which is weird, and I don't know how well I could explain it, but it's quite a vibe, that show, and I'm here for it. I am finishing up Lucifer slowly. Man, that show is weird. Do not recommend it. I'm also in the midst of season two of Lock and Key, and I am also finding that very challenging. Mm. I'm really fascinated by the lore and the story. I hate every character.
Hmm.
And that's a hard time. It's a lot of teen angst and stupid children doing stupid things. And I don't. It's a rough pull, but I'm working on it. But anyway, I want to talk about three movies. Okay. I will talk about them in the order that I saw them.
All right.
First, and actually, maybe I already talked about this. Did I talk about The Menu?
I do not believe so.
Okay. Because this was a while ago I saw it. The Menu is on HBO Max. And it is a star-studded film that lists itself as a black comedy horror or satirical horror, which I think is accurate. And it's basically a whole bunch of, well, not a whole bunch, but a select group of like a dozen very rich people pay a very large sum of money to go out to this island where there's a restaurant that's just on this private island and have the fanciest of dinners. But the chef may have other plans for what's going on. And also, one of the party members was not the expected guest. And this is throwing things a bit off. It is it's a movie about class. It doesn't have it's not a serious movie. And I don't mean that in the sense that it is comedic, which it is, but like, it's pulpy as hell.
Mm.
Yes, it's about class, but it's very thinly veiled and in some places not veiled. And it's not saying anything exciting or new. It's just like, what if class struggle got real, real, real serious? But it's very in that mood. Like, everything's very tense and lots of looking at each other and stuff. But the whole thing is firmly tongue-in-cheek. But it's freaking Joseph Fiennes, Anna Taylor-Joy, the Queen's Gambit woman, the witch mm-hmm. woman, I can't, the witch woman. Her, Ralph Fiennes, like I said, John Leguizamo is in there. Judith Light from Who's the Boss is in there. A bunch of faces you'll recognize as well. It's a fun time. It's a fun, goofy, fairly violent in places, but I would say that is not the focus of it. Movie. It's quite shallow in my opinion, but it provoked a lot of thought in me that I don't want to give credit to the film. I don't think it had a lot of message other than just real broad strokes to make the story happen. But consequently, that got my wheels turning in interesting ways. So I thought it was, I kind of enjoyed it. And everybody does a real great job with it. So yeah, I would recommend that for people who are into that sort of thing. Then we watched Nightmare Alley. I finally decided to watch Nightmare Alley. Specifically the recent Guillermo del Toro directed remake of Nightmare Alley. Nightmare Alley is a movie from 1954 that I think is available on YouTube if people want to check that one out. And this was a pretty faithful remake. I had heard there were some distinct differences in the plot, but I looked it up afterwards, and I mean, there were some sort of superficial ones, but not much. It's pretty much the same story. It is a very stylistic noir sort of deal about a grifter, basically, who works in the circus and then learns some tricks in the circus and takes them other ways. And there's cons and there's all sorts of, you know, it's set in the 30s and it's very dark noir. Everybody wears,
I think, cool we saw hats. This. Who's in it?
Bradley Cooper's in it. Yeah. Tony Collette is in it. Ron Perlman, obviously.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe. Rooney Mara, who disappears into the fucking role to the degree that she's one of the main characters, and I didn't know it was her until the credits. And not due to like special makeup effects or anything. She looks like herself. But to me, there's a certain Rooney Mara acting vibe.
With lots of pie eating.
Lots of pie. That, I did say at the time, like, she didn't even eat a pie. this had much more sort of like Rachel Weisz energy to me. She didn't look like her. I didn't think that's who it was, but that sort of thing. And I was really surprised, but yeah, heck of a, Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett. Yeah.
A lot of good people in it. Lesser known actors that I'm also fans of, I'm just one fan of them. It was very well made, very well acted, very beautifully shot. It is a good movie. It is not for me. I mean, I watched the whole thing, but not my kind of story. Didn't enjoy it per se. But I don't think it's a fault of the movie. I think it was a good movie, just not a movie for me. It's also a long ass movie. It's like 2.5 hours.
I didn't remember.
But I wasn't bored. I wasn't bored.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I don't remember being that long. So obviously the length must not have bothered me. But I don't remember us thinking it was great either. I mean, not bad, like you said, but I don't. It didn't really make a huge impression.
It's not my kind of story. It is a story. Well, I mean, there's a reason why it was also made in 1954. Like. It's a kind of story that's been told a lot, and I just don't give a shit about it. It's kind of a downer story. Mm. Honestly, it's, you know, it's about cons and heists and things like that. There were no particularly exciting twists to me. There were some. I was like, oh, that's how that went. But, like, nothing. Give me a Dean Devlin Leverage-style thing that's, like, really cool, but like doesn't hold up to scrutiny if you think about it long afterwards. I much prefer that.
Yeah.
That's like a fun, oh, we got you kind of thing. This is just like, no, life's tough. And here's people doing bad shit in vaguely interesting ways to get through it. Yeah. But yeah, it's fine. And then last night, by just random happenstance, I've been meaning to watch this movie for years. It is considered a classic, and I just haven't ever gotten around to it. So last night I watched it, and then Trish ended up sticking around to watch the whole thing. She was going to go to bed, but then she's like, I want to see this. The 1975 Roger Corman classic, Death Race 2000, starring David Carradine. And I didn't realize fucking pre-Rocky, pre-Rambo, Sylvester Stallone. This is a movie, it's been remade. I think there were sequels to the remake and stuff too, but it is a classic movie from mid-70s about a no-holds-barred, super-violent transcontinental race. Although now that I think about it, they call it that. The entire thing happens within the United States of America, so I'm not sure, on one continent. So I'm not sure why they call it transcontinental, but whatever.
Because it crosses the continent, right? It goes crosses it. Trans.
That's true. I guess I was thinking intercontinental. You're right. Transcontinental would be You're right. All right.
Just across.
I mean, it's in the word there. I don't know. But it's sort of like the old Hanna-Barbera wacky racers, but like
right.
with real people and like actual death and things. So I've always, and like I said, it's sort of famous in its way. I think it was very successful for those sort of low budget movies or whatever. And I always pictured sort of an action drama, maybe sort of horror-ish in some ways for being violent or whatever. That is not what that movie is. It is two kinds of movies that I did not realize it was. One is it's a pretty serious political satire, social commentary kind of movie of the sort that I think was really coming to its own in the mid-70s and went through, blossomed in the 80s with weirdly a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. But this first dystopian idea that in the future everything will be much more sanitized but also much more brutal, and there will be a major corporation or government ruling over everything, and people will just mindlessly be sucking up entertainment even if it's terrible and or horrible and that kind of thing. Because this is set in the United States of America that has one political party, the bipartisan party, and one president who I think has been around for a while, whose policy, which I was still wasn't entirely clear on, but the title of the policy was minority privilege. So probably not great. And the most popular sporting event in the world now under this new regime is this transcontinental race. And it's a race, but in addition to scoring points for winning the race, you score points for killing people with your car on the way. And not like specifically assigned people. Just like if you see a person. And there's point values for the people. And the lowest point is just a man. You get more points for women. You get more points for children. You get a lot of points for a toddler or a baby. You get a tremendous amount of points for a senior citizen of either sex. And it's all okay. The second kind of movie it is kind of a goofball comedy. It's really intentionally funny in a lot of ways. And I did not expect that. It was a bizarre movie. And it's very 70s. I'm obsessed with 70s era culture in general. It was such a time of seemingly unlimited creative expression. And in hindsight, a tremendous amount of restriction and codification of that seemingly, like it was such a weird schizoid time that in particular, the art that came out of that time is bizarre in often the best ways. And I find it fascinating. And this is very of its time. One of the big aspects of it is each car has the driver and the navigator, and you have to earn the right to be the navigator. And one of the navigator's jobs, literally officially, is to essentially provide sexual release for the drivers during the various rest stops along the way. And it's very heteronormative, but it is both ways, because we have some women drivers with men navigators and some men drivers with women navigators. But like, that's literally an official part of their job, and that's sort of mentioned quietly. like that didn't seem that weird to them at the time, because it was the 70s. I was like, huh. But yeah, apparently that's just a thing. But it says a lot about celebrity. It's there's a whole, the main plot is there's an underground faction that wants to get rid of this race because it's horrible and it's violent and everything. And they are the keystone cops of rebel fighters. Their plans make no sense. When they work, it's sheer luck. When they don't, it's like, of course they didn't. And it has a lot of actors in there. It has David Carradine. It has Sylvester Stallone. It has the dude who played Gopher on Love Boat. It has Mary Warnoff, who's been in a ton of B movies and who I'm a pretty big fan of. She's one of the few like good actors, in my opinion, in a lot of these B movies. It's just weird, but it's very, in my opinion, it's very interesting, and it's on Tubi. And it's 90 minutes plus however many commercials they throw at you. So I would recommend that, again, for anybody who thinks that kind of thing would be interesting. It was a hoot and a half. And again, surprisingly thought-provoking. I mean, also really dumb. Some of its commentary was like, yeah, you did not think about that very hard at all. But, you know.
I want to say that guy who played Gopher in Love Boat was from Iowa. I'd have to look that up.
Of course you want to say that. You want to say everybody was from Iowa. But no, I got to admit, he has that vibe. Full disclosure, he plays a Nazi in this. Oh, one of the racing teams are Nazis. And again, it's like not a big part of it. It just is. And it's kind of ridiculous. Weird, weird movie, but a fun time. And yeah, very much not what I expected. All right. Quick before I literally start dripping stuff out my nose on camera, read us an email.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Hold on. So this is from Azure Talon,
who is still playing Horizon Forbidden West. And as far as I can tell, is not listening to the podcast anymore. He just plays Horizon Forbidden West all the time because he hasn't commented in ages. But also, he's always online playing Horizon Forbidden West, which, by the way, I'm up to like 80 hours.
So the subject line says air fryer. And he says,
I don't even know her.
Sup.
Very
cool. I bought myself an air fryer for my 40th and I'm digging it so far. So I guess talk about air frying as you're telling.
Yeah, that sounds like him. Your dramatic reading was really
thank
on
you.
Point there.
I really, I got into that character really well.
Inhabit the blue claw.
It was hard because I'm so much older than him. So I really had to
work on True.
I had to work on it.
Do
you guys have an air fryer?
We don't at present. I think about it sometimes.
Oddly, we also recently got an air fryer.
Oh, well, please.
Well, the air fryer. So I'm not sure what my expectations were. It wasn't my idea to get it. Abby wanted one, so she got one. And now we use it quite often. I mean, pretty much, you know, we'll get things that we could fry, like French fries or something, but we'll bake them, you know?
Yeah.
And we often, you know, in the past couple decades that we've been together, we'll break out a fryer and fry something like a burrito we bought at the store. We'll fry.
No, you mean deep fry.
Yeah. Deep fried tater tots or whatever, which is a real pain and it's messier than you expect. It's good though. I mean, it's really, really good.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, you know, when we got the air fryer, I thought, you know, maybe this will be the best of both worlds where it's not quite such a pain, but it's also like good. It's still a little bit of a pain, but not as much. And it's not quite as good. Now, maybe we're doing it wrong. I don't know. It is better than just throwing it in the oven and baking it. It is better than that for sure. Especially if you do it just right, which that's what I'm saying. It's kind of hard to like, sometimes when we've used it or like when we were using it, it was easy for things to get a little burnt or easy for things to get a little not. I mean, it's like, what's the exact timing, you know?
Yeah.
And what's the exact amount of, like, you spray on, you'll spray on grease or oil or whatever onto whatever it is. What's the, that right amount of that? So it is kind of tricky to get used to, but once you know how to do it, again, I wouldn't say it's as good, but it's better than just about every other alternative, like putting it in the oven or whatever.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it could be that we still haven't gotten it just right also. I mean, because we don't use it every night or anything. We've used it several times though, and we have improved in how we do it, and it is pretty good. So maybe after a while we'll know how to do it just right, so that it's every bit as good as deep frying. But so far it's not as good.
No one I have spoken to personally or seen online or professional or anything claims that it can be as good as deep frying.
Oh really? Yeah.
Well, for starters, it's not deep frying. It's not frying, technically speaking.
Yeah, that's true.
It is, as I understand air fryers, they are essentially a convection oven with a fan built in it to keep things moving around, and you use a little bit of oil, and so the oil heats up and moves around a lot, and so you're getting some of the effect of that, but it's not the same as actually frying.
Yeah.
But it's a lot healthier, and there's a lot less fat. And a lot less mess and faster. Well, I don't know if it's faster than a deep fryer, but faster than a regular oven and things like that.
Yeah, it's faster than a regular oven. Not quite as fast as deep frying, but you can still get a nice crisp, better than the oven crisp, you know, exterior to whatever it is you're frying. And
I have eaten quite a lot of air fried foods.
Oh.
Because the neighbors got one. They use that shit for everything. I have literally had T-bone steaks cooked in the air fryer. And none of it's worse than a regular oven, and it's faster. I don't know. I think about it. I think we've never had a deep fryer. I've never thought it would be wise for me to have a deep fryer.
Why? Because you deep fry everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To irresponsible nutritionally and irresponsible just in terms of personal safety level. Like,
oh, well, there's that.
I would deep fry everything.
Well, here's the thing. It's a benefit that your crispy, you know, almost taste deep fried French fries don't have as much fat, but it's also a disadvantage because fat is tasty. Fat makes it taste good. So you're like, part of you is like, wow, this is good. And it's not as oily or whatever. But then the other part is like, but wouldn't it be nice if it was a little more oily?
Yeah. But like, remember when we went to Shakespeare's and you got just a bunch of fried things,
mm-hmm.
and I joked about how like you were gonna pay for that later, stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yep.
I worry that if I got a deep fryer, I would eat like that all the time and I would never stop paying for it. Like I even now sometimes will have like stuff that is too fatty or like too much of, you know, like batter fried fish or chicken or something, and later on my stomach is like, oh, that probably wasn't great. And it's not the amount of food, it's the amount of oil that's in there, and later it gets even worse, and I'm like, it's best if the barrier to me getting that kind of food involves at least leaving the house or paying someone else to bring it to my house rather than just, yeah, I just throw it in here. And the mess and everything. I can't say the urge doesn't exist, but I've never thought it was a wise choice for me. Air fryer looks definitely possible. There's a combination of reasons I think we haven't done it. Well, maybe more. Yeah, I think I was thinking of two, but I think there's an inertia factor. There's like, my kitchen works the way I want my kitchen to work. I know how I cook things. I don't know that I feel like throwing an entire new appliance into it at this time. There's honestly the big one, space.
Yeah, they're big.
Space in my kitchen is at a premium, and even the small ones, I don't know where I would put it.
Right.
And I certainly don't want to pull it out every time and stuff like that. I have looked. They make toaster ovens that are also air fryers, and we could replace our existing toaster oven with it. And I've thought about that, but I don't know. Because we do have a toaster oven. We use that a lot for certain kinds of dishes where it's just easier than using the full oven. And also in the summer, we'll use it because it'll bake just like my oven will, but it puts out a lot less heat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just two reasons. I don't remember the third reason. But I'm still very much in the exploratory phase of my cooking, and I'm loving that. I'm learning new things all the time. I'm getting really excited about cooking and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know that I want to throw a new thing in right now. And I'm always a late adopter, too. My big thing right now is my Instant Pot. I love that. And I'm like 5 years off the fad. So, like, if this holds up and if they find out, as long as they find out, like, it doesn't burn down your house or cause cancer or whatever, in a few years, when everybody's already had them and isn't that interested anymore or whatever, I'll probably get one. But I haven't at present, but I think they sound very cool. I wouldn't be mad if someone gifted me one, definitely. And I don't think I'd return it or anything, but just not now. But I like the idea, and I think they do well. I have had fries done in there, and it's not as good as you go to a fast food place and get fries that have been deep fried, or any restaurant or whatever. But like, I've had oven fries. I genuinely choose not to have oven fries. I'm like, this is not worth it to me. And I've had these. In fact, just the other night, the neighbors, we had sweet potato fries they had done in it, and those were good like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if like tater tots, if you do them just right, does it taste as good as deep fried? No, but it a lot better than the oven. A lot better.
They created a sort of like a sopapillas, like a fry bread kind of thing, dessert one time. Just off the top of their own head with like biscuit dough and cinnamon sugar and stuff. And we kind of played with it because they didn't try it beforehand. We tried it at dinner then. So like the first couple, it's like the first couple pancakes, you know, they're a little weird. But then they got down and I'm like, this is good. We put it with some ice cream. It was real nice. The possibilities are really broad and I think still being discovered on those. So I think they're very cool. I like them.
It's a little like,
I don't think I'm ready for one yet.
It's a little like cooking with your microwave oven. When microwaves first became a thing that everybody had in their house, there were tons of cookbooks about how to make the microwave make a decent, not just heating up something you bought, but actually that you would cook the main meal in. Because microwave cooking can be gross, but
absolutely,
you know, there are ways you can do it where you could serve a meal and you could have done it all in the microwave and nobody would know. But this is kind of the same. People have to sort of get used to how it works and, you know, what the timing
and
is.
And know what it specifically does.
Exactly.
Because microwaves do a specific thing. And when you learn that thing, it then becomes much more obvious. Oh, I don't want to do this. That would be terrible done that way. And right. I could see the same thing with the air fryer.
That's exactly right. Yep, that's exactly
it doesn't
right.
fry. It's not just like, oh, you want to fry something? It's doing a different thing.
But
that thing is very cool.
Yeah.
And comparatively easy to a lot of other things.
I mean, I think it helps Abby because, you know, since she started eating meat again, she's had to figure out how to do that whole thing. And, you know, it can get kind of boring and repetitive and uninteresting, but you know, with this, I think she's found some other things that she can, like things that she could do before, but they would take a lot longer.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things the Instant Pot does too, is it helps you do things you might not have done before, but this is short. It doesn't take as long. So maybe you'll give it a try. And so
I was just talking with my sister about this because my sister has an Instant Pot though. And it's still in the box. She hasn't used it.
Oh.
And I get that because I had a pressure cooker in the past and we used it like 3 times and then never again. But I love my Instant Pot. But like, I don't know. I was very aggressive when I first got it. Like, I was determined to make something soon and then like sort of forced myself. And now I'm just like, no, it's handy. But she brought up a really good point, which is my sister is not vegetarian and neither is their daughter. Her husband is, and their daughter doesn't live at home anymore. So by and large, they just eat vegetarian in the house. And my sister will have meat elsewhere. We'll go out to eat or something like that. Or when the daughter is visiting, they might make a vegetarian version of not or things like that. But by and large, in their day-to-day, it's all vegetarian. Instant Pot can help with that, but not as much in terms of time. Like, vegetables don't take as long to cook as meat. And so if you're like, well, this will take 10 minutes in a pan or 2 minutes in the Instant Pot. Yeah. Plus 5 minutes to come to pressure and 5 minutes to depressure afterward. Maybe not worth it. And so I told her there's actually a recipe in our cookbook that I got online. That's a chicken and Parmesan risotto. You can do risotto in an Instant Pot real easy. Whereas real life risotto is real hard because you have to really work on it, keep stirring everything. But you can do it, essentially cook the rice slightly different. It comes out amazing. And I told her, I was like, this recipe, leave out the chicken and put in whatever the hell you want. And I do it often just with mushrooms and it's great. And it is not something you could do on the stove at all easily. You could do it, but it would take a lot of time. So, and that's in the cookbook. So I was like, I told her, I said, make that and then you'll see the value. But soon I'll get you that cookbook and then you can make things like that.
We have 2 Instant Pots. One is larger than the other. And, you know, like if we have the kids over or whatever, we can put, you know, a vegetarian thing in the small one, which is mostly just for me.
Real good.
And then in the big one, she can put a roast in there. And
you can actually get an attachment to an Instant Pot that will turn it into an air fryer.
Oh, I didn't know.
But it basically won't work as an Instant Pot after that. You can't sort of go back and forth.
Oh.
So, but having more than one, that can work.
Well, unfortunately, we keep them on top of the refrigerator and the small one fell off.
Oh, no.
And got damaged. We don't even know if it'll still work.
And like, yeah, you want, I mean, to be fair, it has so many safety protocols built in, but still, because that's what throws a lot. I've encountered a lot of cooks out there that are scared of pressure cookers, and I get it. I'm not, but I couldn't tell you why I'm not. And I mean, I could give you the rational reasons why there's not much reason to be scared of them. Because there are a lot of very specific safety mechanisms built into them. But I do get it.
Well, when I was growing up, I mean, we had roast like every Sunday or whatever. And it was almost always done in the pressure cooker. Pressure cooker was used at least once a week.
We didn't have a pressure cooker in my house.
I think we had a large
sometimes it was crock pot, but mostly it was just in a freaking Pyrex pan in the oven.
I mean, that happens sometimes too.
I did not enjoy it.
But we had a pressure cooker. I think we had a bigger one too for canning, unless that was something else. But
canners. It's sort of a different thing, but yeah.
That's probably what we had. But we had a small pressure cooker for the roast, and I think that they didn't use it every single week. Sometimes they would put it in the oven to cook slower, you know, when you're like barbecue or something. But I think when they didn't have time or when the timing was just so, they had to put it in the pressure cooker so it would be done quicker. I guess.
My friends do baked potatoes in the Instant Pot because it's real fast.
Yeah.
And supposedly you could do like a whole chicken in there. Like, it comes with a little metal frame, and if you just put it on there, And I have a small whole chicken in the freezer right now, so I keep thinking about it, but I don't know.
I have a
pretty big one.
I like the baked potatoes we get out of the air fryer. That's, I mean, they're not only are they done like any baked potato would be, but they have kind of a crispy skin on the outside.
When it's and done, that's so it's kind of my nice. Thing. I actually don't do Instant Pot ones because I grew up with baked potatoes we got out of the microwave. Mm. And that works. That works great. And it's real fast.
Too. Yeah, I think so too.
I do mine in the oven and it is real not fast. Like, no. It's not hour. Quite an hour, but I minutes, just, hour. I basically allot an hour to do it.
Yep. Yep.
But it gives you the crisp skin and everything. And it's like a baked potato. And to me, the skin is nothing when it's done in the microwave. And the Instant Pot ones are like the microwave ones. So if you're going to put a bunch of shit on it or whatever, that's fine. But if I want an actual baked potato with like, the crispy skin and all that, I'm like, no, I put it in the oven. And what I'll do is I will very early on, before I'm doing any of the rest of the meal, put it in the oven for like a half hour, turn off the oven just before I go pick up my wife from work, come home, and as I'm making the rest, I turn it back on and do the last 20 or whatever. And also, in my experience, it is hard to over bake a potato. You can, but it is, you have to, it has to get like black or something. Like I've never had one where I'm like, oh, I put this in like 10 minutes too long. I'm like, no, that just made it crispier. And I really like this.
Yeah. I've never gotten a crispy skin out of the oven as good as the one we get out of the air fryer. That makes a nice.
That makes sense. Cause you got the oil involved and supposedly you can do it in the oven using oil. And I used to do things where brush it with olive oil and stuff. Never worked right. They always came out kind of soggy. So now I don't put anything. I give it a good scrub. Poke it with holes so it don't explode. And then just
no
put it in there.
Yeah. I don't think we've
and
done
sweet potatoes, same deal.
Since we got the air fryer, we might have done potatoes in the oven a couple times just because we had the time or it was just something we weren't gonna eat for an hour anyway. We'll throw them in there. But I think Abby really likes them in the air fryer now. That's probably
and
how
if
we'll
I
most.
Would be all over comparisons. If I get an air fryer, I'd be like, okay, we're going to do one in here and see what happens. I love that. Do you remember when they did Pepsi throwback and Mountain Dew throwback that was supposedly the original recipes? And I made us all do, at Gaia's Feast, I made us do a blind taste test of these.
I don't remember that.
I
wouldn't have been able to do it, but.
There was a thing called Pepsi throwback and Mountain Dew throwback that was supposed to be the original recipes when they came out back in the day.
How did the taste test do?
I don't remember. I just remember it being real fun.
Oh,
because that's the thing. I very seldom will do it, but like growing up, I remember we got into Breyers ice cream in my family and we decided to do taste tests. So we did a taste test. In this part of the country, there's a brand called Edie's ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
In a Best Foods Hellman's kind of thing, if you go to the West Coast, it's called Dreyer's ice cream. I do not know why. But so we would buy vanilla Breyers, vanilla Dreyers, and then just the store brand and like compared them. And then we do this like on vacation, and we did this another time with the chocolate ones to compare and stuff. And sometimes I remember the results, sometimes I don't. I just think it's fun. I like taste tests. I still want to do it because Fresca is back.
What?
Fresca kind of went away for a while. Yeah.
Wow.
But since it's been gone, Squirt came out with a diet version, a zero sugar version or whatever. So I want to do a taste test on those because my mother-in-law really likes zero sugar Squirt, and I do too. But I really like Fresca, and they're kind of the same. Fresca is explicitly grapefruit. And Squirt is supposedly citrus, but it's sort of very grapefruit focused.
Where can you get Fresca?
I can get it fucking any place. I can get it at Hy-Vee in like 2 liters. I get it at my local gas station convenience store. It's just one of the ones in there.
Wow.
Go check them out. Yeah, it's around.
I'll have to see. Look into that.
Because I love Fresca. But yeah, I'm planning when we go to Virginia Beach in the summer. I'm totally planning on getting my hands on some Diet Squirt and some Fresca and doing some blind taste tests. And I would do a lot of that if I had an air fryer.
So, you know, I was old enough when the Pepsi challenge was going on in the 80s. I went to a mall and they were doing it. Pepsi was there doing their Pepsi challenge. I did it. I went ahead and did the taste because I could tell the difference between them. I knew exactly which one was Pepsi.
Of course you can tell the difference. Like, I don't understand how it worked. And I'm, you know, I don't drink a lot of sugared soda, but I have in the past. And honestly, Coke Classic all the way. I don't dislike Pepsi, but there's something special about Coke Classic to me. I would never be confused about those two.
No, I know. They're
not for a second.
Not even close. I could have told you the difference between Coke, Classic Coke anyway, Coke, Pepsi, and RC Cola. I could have told you the difference between all three of those.
Yeah. The one that tastes like some sort of industrial lubricant is RC Cola.
I used to like RC all right.
Did you ever have Diet Right?
No.
That's the shittiest cola in the history of the world. And I say that as somebody who used to drink a lot of it. It's bad.
Yeah, I didn't understand what the whole challenge was when you knew what was what. At least I did. I remember going up to the Pepsi challenge and I said, well, this is Pepsi right here. I didn't really say which one I preferred. I just said which one was Pepsi. I thought Pepsi, I didn't have a preference between Pepsi and Coke. Some of my family liked Coke better.
Yeah.
I didn't care, but Pepsi was fine.
Trish is very much a Pepsi person. Oh. When she's really needs something and Coke is available, she will have Coke, but in general, Pepsi. Which is why she's so happy. They have you can regularly buy the real sugar version though. We get that. We stock that for her because she doesn't do super great with high fructose corn syrup and she likes it better anyway this way. So we do that. But
To me, they're very different. You can tell. I can tell the difference. I like sugar better than corn syrup for sure.
Yeah. So does she probably. But let's throw in the mix here. Supposedly, Pepsi's recipe has changed 5 or 6 times over the years.
You said that, which I wouldn't know because I haven't had Pepsi in 30 years, but.
Yeah, but like I don't.
35 years.
I don't remember noticing a difference. But I didn't ever know it. And I never drank sugar pop on the regular.
Right, but sometimes a recipe changes going from sugar to corn syrup. You know, and for a lot of people, they're not necessarily notice that.
That's
or
true.
Changing how they color it or changing things that probably won't affect for most people. But I noticed when things went to corn syrup because they tasted gross to me, but most people didn't notice or care.
You know what I really miss? Pepsi Light.
Did they have that commercial with a song? Did they have a Pepsi Light song?
I think they might have.
But Pepsi I love Pepsi Light. Something Pepsi Light.
Pepsi Light was one of the original sort of diet soft drinks. I remember it was always, the spokespeople were always very skinny blonde women talking about how it only had 1 calorie or whatever. But the big thing is, it was basically Diet Pepsi with lemon.
Oh, I didn't know
that really
part.
Tasty. It's really tasty.
I think they had an ad campaign where they'd show a person who would talk about all the things they hate. They were a total misanthrope and they hated this, they hated that, they hated little kids, they hated little dogs, but they love Pepsi Light. And there was a song that went with it. They hate almost everything, but they love Pepsi Light. I think, but I want to say, was there a Pepsi Right or something, or is it just Pepsi Light?
Just Pepsi Light. I mean, there was Pepsi Free for a little while.
I think it was a Pepsi Light commercial. I don't know why I remember that. Probably because there was a song.
And years later, they tried doing Pepsi with lemon and Diet Pepsi with lemon. And I think Diet Coke messed around with that. There was a very short craze of putting citrus flavor in there, which I loved. But Pepsi Light was a whole other animal, which it probably was just like a really artificial lemon flavor that I happened to like. I don't know.
I mean, but I really enjoyed that. I think putting citric acid in things is sometimes marketed as citric or lemony or whatever when it's sour. They just put a little sour flavor in there.
I'm wrong about that.
Doesn't really
contribute. Well, not with a bang, but with a whimper. Do we end this episode talking about air fryers and old soft drinks? Because we are turning into very old men, and that's why you listen, I assume. That or some sort of court order, in which case, tell me about it. Tell us about any of your feelings on this. Y'all gotta have feelings about air frying. Go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. Do you have an air fryer? Do you use an air fryer? If you don't, are you like me and you've experienced it other places? Do you think it's bullshit? What about Instant Pot? We haven't talked enough about Instant Pots, people. Such that I guess I didn't know you even used yours as much as you do.
Lots.
We got a couple of good Instant Pot recipes in that cookbook that I gotta still get to you. We've been watching, so we're really pushing hard our white guilt here in Black History Month. The two TV shows we are currently watching, one is third season Atlanta, which is getting weird. It's really heading bizarre. And that show was already pretty weird. And the other is on HBO Max. There's one of those cooking reality shows where, like, every episode one person has to leave. But it's about soul food. And we're really enjoying it and actually learning a fair bit about soul food. But it's also reminding us of things we haven't had in a while. The other day, Trish was like, you got to make jambalaya next week. Because I used to make jambalaya in the big old Dutch oven. That was nice. But we have an Instant Pot recipe. And ever since we made that, that's the one we make because it's real good. So that'll happen next week. So yeah, I love my Instant Pot. It's great. I have finally successfully burned something in it, or at least made it say it was burning. Apparently that's very finicky when it goes off. But yeah. All right. So yeah, go to the blog. And tell us all that stuff. And tell us what shows have you been watching. See if you have an answer to the peacock conundrum that is doing my head in here. is Jazz gaslighting me? I'd love to find out. Also, is Julie Noki actually pregnant? If any of you know, let me know on the blog. Go to azatheater.com and look up all of William's stuff. And go to smashwords.com. Look for my book, Odd Wings. It costs $2.99. But if that's a little too much for you, soon I might have a little announcement about that. But I have learned to draw this shit out for more engagement.
More engagement, right.
That's the name of the game. All those clicks. And also keep writing in. We haven't got a lot in there, and I don't know. I'm trying to make a bit more concerted effort to really engage with the emails. So give us more emails. Let us know you're out there, because we do this out of crippling sense of loneliness. See you next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.